The following presentation was recorded at the 1996 Teachers Workshop at Faith Builders. More information on Faith Builders events at fbep.org.
Good afternoon. I got... How many of those did I get back? You probably all did them. Are they up here? Nope. The writing assignments, you probably all did them, but I didn't ask you to turn them in. So you can hang on to them, because I think what I'd like to start out by doing is having you, just having a little bit of a discussion circulating around these questions. And I will not be answering them. You will. I will tell you right away that I have never taught Bible in a school at the elementary school level. And why I have this assignment, I do not know. But I do have four children, and I have taught them Bible. And I know a little bit about children. And I know a little bit about how they respond to spiritual things at the elementary school level. And so I will do the best I can. And I'm hoping that maybe you will join with me and help me out. And I thought it would be good to discuss some of the questions that you have and allow your peers to respond. Some of those questions. Thinking that you are a better resource than I am. The first question was, No, I can't, but I can do this. They're all going to come anyway, so it's not going to be on tape. The first question was, what do you need to know, right? What do you need to know about teaching Bible? And I'll read a couple of these to sort of get things rolling, and then you can join in. We'll spend maybe about 15 minutes, 10 minutes of our time in this way. And I think you will be, how many of you have taught Bible? Okay, there's enough resource here to answer some of these questions. I have this question. What kind of props do you use to make Bible come alive? And I have this question. Do you use other translations? Where can you get some good visual aids? How do you teach a lesson in an interesting way? And most of these that I receive, I think, fall under the category of the last one, which says, I never taught Bible before, so I don't know what questions to ask. So here are a couple questions anyway. What are your responses? Why don't you just go ahead and speak up? I'll repeat them. What kind of props do you use to make Bible lessons come alive? Somebody else asked about the use of flannel graphs. Do you have some ideas? This is a workshop, not a lecture, so you're supposed to. Can you all hear Janice? Maybe you could speak to her.
A large picture of the story of the actress in a separate book, and they're pretty detailed.
She's speaking about Becca's flashcard. I don't know what you would call them, flashcard stories. Would you, as a teacher, buy such a thing to have in your personal Pardon?
Absolutely.
I know one of our teachers does. I don't know if more than one of them does. She has her own. We don't have it have one as a school, but she uses it in her first and second.
What's that grade two if you use something like that?
Sure. What grade levels? Are those grade specific?
I was teaching third and fourth grade when I used them. And I'm not sure if they just really haven't grown from that far, or I don't know what I'm going to
Do you know if they can be used for the same set can be used? I suppose that you can just use them, yeah. So that's a pretty flexible resource. Okay, other things, other props or visual aids or assisting aids that you can use.
I never tried it myself, but instead of using mammograms, I'm going to use the airplane projector and just have like the pattern cutouts, so just put on the silhouette to go along with the story.
Okay. Did you all hear that?
That way, if you're not autistic, you don't need to worry about putting faces.
You just have to be able to cut out. Maps, yes. We use one at home when we talk about Bible.
Like the chart with the one of the kings,
Do you know like where those are? CLE has a Bible timeline. Oh, it's a system.
Oh, about?
For Bible school. Yeah, I noticed the first one was free, and the second one was $5. Yeah, I think some sort of timeline is really effective. Any other ideas? Well, let's move on. How about other translations? Do you use other translations? See a yes. I suppose this will depend in part on your school. In some schools, you would probably be asked not to. What translation? NIV. Of course, if you're using Bible storybooks, that takes care of part of that difficulty. Anybody feel strongly about reading out of the King James Version to children?
Not so long ago, we had Mark, the chief of protocol, and we were telling us about the translations. My eyes were really open to the possible danger of that. Whereas before, I would have thought, he gave us several pages of references with parts of verses left out, some verses left out, the divinity of Christ diminished, and the NIV as well. And he was really cautioning these things. And he doesn't say that you can't use NIV at all, but maybe as a study, but not as a continuum, not memorization.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some verses that I was just shocked when they had left out, which would be maybe. Have to do with accepting Christ as your Savior, the divinity of Christ. So I'm just throwing that out as a caution.
Yeah, thank you. Rachel?
As parents, we trust that we would keep doing directions in school outreach like that.
The school I taught in Oregon would ask us to use and memorize only King James. I think. Sometimes maybe we expect less. Somebody said something the other day about expectations. I think sometimes we expect less out of our children than they are able to give. And they will probably rise to whatever level they are asked to rise to. I think there may be a time for reading out of a Bible storybook of some sort. Probably most of your schools will have a Bible storybook for you to use, Edgar Myers or something like that. Yeah, so there are some guidelines. There would be some guidelines that one would need to adhere to in using other translations. Other questions? What are some of the questions that you all wrote down? In the first question there, what do you need to know?
Is there any way we can see a revival?
Is there any way of what?
Making that exciting.
Making it exciting. Because they're all working at an end. Have any of you used CLE in the classroom? What do you do? Rachel. Okay. Good. Did you hear? Other ideas? Other questions? You didn't write, you don't have any other questions that you wrote down?
Is it confusing, like, there are still people who are not confused and step, but like, I read stories to them and then
is it not what? All right, the question is, they study out of the King James and they memorize out of the King James. Is it a bad idea to read to them out of another version?
Well, the NIV is a little more clear, or it's easier for our children to understand. We don't know which manuscripts are actually accurate, King James or the NIV. If you don't like the King James, you might try the new King James, that's all the same.
Jim mentioned the New King James Version, which is a contemporary rendering of the Bible from the same text as the King James text, the same original text. There's a possibility. I guess, I don't know, just a reaction as a, you know, from the gut level, I don't think so. Why would it be any more confusing for me to read out of another version when I'm reading stories to them than it would be for me to read out of Bible storybook? My boys are pretty adept at using King James in church and New American Standard at home, which is what we do. They don't. Now, if they have to read the New American Standard while somebody in the pulpit reads the King James, they can confuse. They can't tell a lot about this. One's fourth and one's sixth grade level. But I think they understand that there are different translations. They handle it. Any input on that? Anybody disagree or think it's a bad idea?
If it's a way to help the children understand the story, then that's not a false answer.
I think we have to think about the objectives that we have. There are a number of different objectives in teaching Bible. And one of them isn't it just simply that the children would learn the basic content of the scriptures, that they would know the stories, they'd be able to recognize the name David and the principal stories that surround his life, and they would know who Ruth is and what her place is in the scripture. And I think to communicate the basic stories of the scripture, I don't know that they have to be communicated in King James Version English. And I think that's why story Bibles are written, because people recognize that children don't have the same comprehension skills that we do. Other questions? One question that I have here under weaknesses is a note about a memorization system. Do any of you have knowledge of a Bible memorization system that can be obtained just by itself aside from a curriculum? Positive Action for Christ, which publishes a Bible curriculum called the Pro Series, as I know they have a schedule of memorization, which I'm almost positive they would send to somebody who requested. It's just a leaf in the teacher's manual that could be taken out and photocopied. I'm sure they would send such a schedule date, someone who requested it. They're very cooperative. They're in South Carolina, I think, but I would have an address for that, and that would be another possibility. So those lot most curriculums, I think, have a memorization system built in. You could probably obtain such a thing from even a back road. Any other questions in any of these categories? All right, well, let's, I would like to talk about oral reading a little bit, and then I would like for us to talk about attributes of Bible learners according to grade level, and then think about some of you who responded with questions said that you will be basically making up your own lessons. How many of you is that true, that you don't have a specific curriculum that you use? A few of you. That it will be helpful for you to have a sense of how to just analyze a passage in order to make a lesson. It's also helpful for those of us who have a prescribed curriculum so that we can think through the kinds of questions that are in our lessons and know how to tailor them to students to make adjustments and changes and maybe to add our own questions. CLE offers this guidelines for oral reading. I don't know how many of you have seen this. How many have you have? They'll give it to you. It's free. And it's a nice little pamphlet that gives you not only some pointers for oral reading that you can use for yourself so that you can improve your oral reading skills, but it also gives you a system for marking oral reading as you require children to read. Reading is pretty important, and when it comes to the scripture, being able to read the scripture well in public out loud is important. Of course, a lot of what we do with children with the Bible involves reading to them. And I think every Christian ought to be able to read the scripture reading with emphasis. Is that what people say? But to read it with good elocution, to read it reverently, sometimes passionately, sometimes beautifully. But to be able to read it well, I think, is an important skill. And so, you know, whether you do oral reading with any other subject or not, eventually, unless you're working with the lowest grades, you're going to need to help your students to read the Bible. And would anybody like to volunteer to read a passage of Scripture this afternoon? You can just raise your hand if you would like to. Okay, great. Do you have a particular passage? Is it Lillian that you would like to read? How about Psalm 23? You'll have to stand up for us and just give us your best read. Good. What do you think?
For the most current Faith Builders recordings, visit ChristianLearning.org. And for more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit the DocForLearning.org.